I know that there are people here who don't feel worthy of the love of God because they've learned about divine love based on human love. But we're talking here about a love that wilt not let me go. The love of a father who waits at the window praying to see his prodigal son return home.
That's the Reverend Joe Evans, and today he brings you an inspiring message of faith entitled, When Israel Was a Child. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Joseph B. Evans, who just over a year ago became the senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Marietta, Georgia. For 6 years before that, he was senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Columbia, Tennessee. Joe is a graduate of Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina, and earned his Master of Divinity at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. Joe, welcome to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. I'm proud to be here.
You've been a regular preacher on Day One since 2011, but the last time you were with us, you were just about to make the move to First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, the church you grew up in. What's it been like for you to go back home as the senior pastor?
It has been incredible. The Sunday school classrooms still smell exactly the same way, and a lot of the same folks are around. Mrs. Corley, my third grade Sunday school teacher, is still an active member. She is in worship every Sunday, as are several members of the church who I remember very well. The church has changed some, but the spirit is exactly the same. I felt nurtured there as a child and as a member of the youth group. It's really where the foundation of my faith was established, and to be back there as the pastor is truly an honor. Every day is a gift.
First Presbyterian of Marietta is an active church with a wide range of ministries to members and to the community and to the world. What are some of the ways that the church is serving God's kingdom?
A real point of pride in the congregation is that one of the oldest after-school programs in the state of Georgia is still active and vibrant in the congregation. 10% of children at the elementary school I attended as a child are now students in this after-school program, and a majority of the kids are learning English as a second language. A majority of the kids are either first-generation or second-generation immigrants from Latin America, Central or South America. And this is a program where it is obvious that a difference is being made in the lives of children. There's a child in this program who was from such a remote area of Central America that she didn't even speak Spanish. She spoke an indigenous dialect, had never sat in a chair. So this is a program where children are really nurtured and loved, where their lives are transformed and changed. I had the pleasure of hearing that little girl who couldn't speak Spanish read a book to me in English because I got to be a principal for a day at the same elementary school. I also attended the Club 330 graduation, and as these kids graduate fifth grade and move on to middle school, age out of the program, they're able to express for themselves just what a difference the program has made in their lives, and it's just a point of pride for the whole church.
So I understand the church is working through a long-range plan with a committee working to move the church into the future by building on your strengths. Why are you undertaking that at this point?
This is just an incredible time to serve this church. When I was growing up in the church was booming. By the time I graduated high school in 1998, the church had about 3,500 members. And it just seemed like the sky was the limit. But after 2000, there have been there's a series of pastorates, a season of conflict that really hit its low point with the church split 3 years ago now. So after the church split, I started serving this church in 2017. The church had gone from 3,500 members to just over 1,000. Mm. So we have the physical plant for 3,500 members. We had virtually the programmatic structure for 3,500 members, but a much smaller staff, a much smaller volunteer base. So we had to decide that as we've hit kind of a new stride, a new vibrancy in the last year, finances have stabilized, worship attendance has begun to increase again, we had to ask ourselves, as we grow back, what do we let go of? How do we prioritize? What do we add? My closest friend as a child, his father is the chair of our long-range planning committee. His name's Buck Buchanan, and he was an executive for a stucco company. And Buck has chaired our long-range planning committee and forced us to think about the reality that really we can only do a small amount of things well. We have to prioritize our efforts. Mm-hmm. So we gave voice to the congregation in a series of town hall meetings. The congregation prioritized five areas of importance: technology, communication, this after-school program that I spoke of, the youth group, and the preschool. So as we move forward, we're really focusing our efforts in the areas where we already know God is at work transforming people's lives. Mm-hmm. We are looking to strengthen our church in these five areas because the reality is a church can only do so many things well. And in the past year, we have eliminated our contemporary worship service because we just felt like we couldn't do it well anymore. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't transforming lives the way it once did. So we're trying to be more fully who God created us to be. Mm. And we believe that that is a traditional church, multi-generational, firmly rooted in our community.
Joe, your sermon today draws from the prophet Hosea from chapter 11. So who was Hosea?
Hosea was a prophet when it was difficult to be a prophet, not just because it's always hard to be a prophet, but because he was having a difficult time in his personal life. His wife, Gomer, had abandoned him again and again and again. Gomer kept returning to the brothel. And Gomer, this prostitute the prophet had taken for a wife, was not being faithful to Hosea. And Hosea, he makes his life story a metaphor for what God's love is like for you and me. Mm-hmm. That if we turn our back on God, if we return to the wayward path, if we go back to the brothel after redemption, if we backslide, does God abandon us? No more would God abandon us than this prophet would abandon his wife, Gomer, the prostitute. So his very life is a metaphor for God's faithfulness and undying love for us.
Would you read the passage for us?
Yes, sir. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priest and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but He does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord, who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria. And I will return them to their homes, says the Lord.
Joe, your sermon is entitled, When Israel Was a Child. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. You know, some relationships end, and some seem to end more easily than others. I was in sixth grade, and I had a girlfriend. Her name was Catherine, and we really made our relationship official when at the end of our fifth grade year, we couple skated, holding hands at the local skating rink. Unfortunately, then, we went on to sixth grade. That was middle school. And in middle school, things were different. In middle school, there was this guy named Ben, and he gelled his hair. And before I knew it, I was climbing into the school bus when one of Catherine's friends ran up and told me that Catherine would be breaking up with me because Catherine was now going with Ben. It seems to me that after you've couple skated with someone, the decent thing to do is to at least break up with them face to face, but Catherine didn't see it that way, and just like that, the relationship was over. It was less simple for a friend of mine in eighth grade. She called up her boyfriend Steve to deliver the bad news that they would be breaking up, but old Steve, he saw it coming a mile away and wasn't about to let this relationship end, so he had this Boys to Men song playing in the background when she called. Till the end of the road, girl, I can't let you go. It's unnatural, you belong to me, I belong to you. Now, with that song playing, this breakup wasn't so easy. And maybe the breakup should never be easy. Maybe the breakup should always be hard. There was a time when a group of Pharisees came to Jesus to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" This is a significant question because what divorce meant back in the time of Jesus was that a man could drop his existing family to start a new family in a time when only men could work and own property. So if he decided that he would rather start another family, he could just write her a certificate of divorce and could move on from that first family as though nothing had ever happened. He could just hand her that certificate of divorce on her way up into the school bus, and it was over. She and her children would be without a home, without a source of income, and without an honest name to make their way in the world. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce so easily. But if two have become one flesh, do you really think they can ever be separated again? Do you really think a man can just walk away as though nothing ever happened? Do you really believe that a man can just pretend that the children never happened, that the life he made didn't really happen, that he can just hit the reset button and start all over again?" You know what? Some people do. But not so with God. Our scripture lesson from the book of Hosea is among the most beautiful in the Bible. But not only is the passage beautiful, It's powerful in the sense that the prophet Hosea is married to a prostitute, and he is married to this prostitute to illustrate his point that if God is married to us, then it is a marriage just like a holy prophet being married to a prostitute. That if God is married to me, that if God is married to you, it is like a holy prophet being married to a prostitute. Certainly any Pharisee would have approved should God have wanted to issue a certificate of divorce given our condition. But Hosea won't divorce his wife Gomer the prostitute even though she keeps returning back to the brothel, despite who he's married to. Hosea, like our God, just won't let the relationship end. In Bible studies on this passage, I've heard women and men identify with God as the divine takes on even more human or superhuman attributes in the 11th chapter. Several years ago, a woman named Mrs. Jane Edwards pronounced that this is a mother talking here in Hosea. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called them, the more they went from me. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. This does sound like a mother to me, or a grandmother. The kind of grandmother who loves her grandson so much that she even loves the little greasy handprints they leave all over her sliding glass doors and won't clean them off because of how much she loves the greasy little hands who put them there. The kind of mother who can't help but bite the little cheeks of her daughter. Smell that little smell that only comes from her baby girl. The kind of mother or grandmother or father or grandfather who remembers lining up the Cheerios on the couch cushions so that the baby would pull up and shuffle down step by step, Cheerio to Cheerio, until little Israel could walk. And the couch is still there years later, even in those days when he doesn't come around, because he has other people to impress. The couch is still there, even in those days when the baby, now grown, seems to think only of himself. The couch is still there, even if he falls farther and farther down the pit of drugs or alcohol, crime or indiscretion. Our God still looks at that couch and remembers the baby we used to be, even if we've forgotten who we ever were and have walked so far away from the light that we can't see our way back home. In this moment, it's easy for us to believe that our God will be like our sixth grade girlfriend. Considering all the wrong we've done, it's easy to believe that God will just issue us a bill of divorce and be done with us. So I've known plenty of people who've been to church their whole lives, completely sure that they're going to hell. The only question is how soon. But we read here in Hosea God saying something different. My people are bent on turning away from me. But how can I give you up? How can I hand you over? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender, for I am God and no mortal. I believe that too often we misunderstand what love really is. And I say so because I misunderstand it all the time. Last July, my mom sent me a birthday card. And on the front of the card is this little boy with his bike helmet on, and he's pushing his little blue bike up a gravel road. And the card says, "Son, sometimes I find myself smiling, just remembering something you said when you were little. And there's a big part of me that expected to open that card to read the words, but then you became a teenager and you hurt me again and again and again. But instead, you know what the card said? And today, I just hope you know how very much I love you and how grateful I am to call you my son. Now, that's kind of a miraculous card, but this kind of miracle isn't so far away. And I say that because I know there are some of you who have known friends who cut ties with you, maybe even friends that you've had to cut ties with. There may be children who you still love but you don't ever see. Parents who you loved at one time and wonder if you still do. There may be wives listening now who have been issued that certificate of divorce, tossed aside like yesterday's news. And that there are husbands listening who have loved and lost and want to tell that poet Alfred Lord Tennyson that he's crazy thinking that it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I know that there are people here who don't feel worthy of the love of God because they've learned about divine love based on human love, but the love of God is more, and the God who once lifted you up to his cheek, who bent down to you and fed you, can't just walk away. You see, we're talking here about a love that wilt not let me go, a grace greater than all our sin, the love of a father who waits at the window praying to see his prodigal son return home. It's like Hosea here is quoting that great Sam Cooke song when he sings to the woman who treated him bad, but still he sings, "If you ever change your mind about leaving me behind. Oh, bring it to me. Bring your sweet love and bring it on home to me." Because we're talking here about the love of a God who can't just walk away from the baby who learned to walk in her den regardless of the mistakes that he's made or the man he's become. And I say that this is God according to the book of Hosea. But is this you? Is this me? Having been loved like this by the living God, can we love like this while we are living? Can we begin to forgive the ones who hurt us the most? Because if God is in the business of forgiving us, what justice would it be for you or me to just go around cutting people off? Can we let go of the old hurts? And I say we should, because for you and me, God already has. Because of this wondrous love, we have to start moving on. And even if there's no going back to the way things used to be, remember those strong words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., "I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear." So having received the love of God, the amazing, miraculous, divine love of God, we must all be so bold to embody the words of Colossians, seeking what is above, putting to death whatever in you is earthly, loving not as the world loves, but loving as God loves. We must get rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from our mouths, stripping away our old selves and clothing ourselves with new selves. Living according to the image of our Creator. For while some may have treated us like a sixth grade sweetheart, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, that is a love that never ends. Amen.
Our Day One preacher today was the Reverend Joe Evans, senior pastor of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, Georgia. For a free printed transcript of his message, When Israel Was a Child, call us toll free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Day One is made possible by the contributions of listeners like you. We're truly grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, Joe Evans returns to Day One with a powerful sermon entitled, Where Were You? Be sure to be listening. Now, Joe Evans offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Joe, you talked about some different childhood breakups and then noted that maybe a breakup should always be hard. And Jesus shed light on the situation in his time when men were allowed to simply issue a bill of divorce and walk away from the wife and children with no consequences. We've hopefully evolved from that in our culture these days, but nevertheless, Jesus made it clear that relationships like this are serious business. Why is it so hard for so many folks to accept and understand that?
It is hard. It's difficult to know what to do with divorce. Divorce is just a part of life. We know that nearly a majority, or at least 50% of marriages end in divorce now, and the question becomes, well, what do we do with that? We've accepted it as just a part of life, and in many ways, we have to give thanks that children are raised no longer in houses of forced conflict, that people don't have to stay together. But what seems obvious to me is that it's wrong when one person leaves a marriage to start a new family and forgets that the other family ever existed. That children are hurt, not by divorce per se, but when they're forgotten and when they feel as though they've been left behind. We have to acknowledge the reality that relationships are serious, that they're meaningful, and that marriages can't just be, you can't wash your hands of a spouse. You can't really wash your hands of any relationship. In this modern era where we're redefining norms of marriage and norms of sex and relationship, I think we have to again take seriously that relationships can't be so casual.
Mm-hmm.
It's serious. It matters. It matters to kids. It matters to us.
And Hosea, the prophet, showed in his life, in his marriage to the prostitute Gomer, how God is related to each of us, committed to us. And even if we've forgotten who we ever were and have walked so far away from the light that we can't see our way back home, you said, God still remembers us and loves us. That is the hope each one of us can cling to, isn't it?
I think so. It definitely speaks hope to me.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, you know, as a preacher, that we're always preaching to ourselves.
Yes.
This passage speaks hope to me, and I'm thankful for it.
And all of us have broken relationships of all kinds in our past, perhaps even with God, but God just won't let go. So how can we share that kind of love with others?
Oh, man. Yeah, we gotta live it, right?
Yes.
We have to live it. We can't wash our hands of people. And the church has shown, I think by the way we've conducted ourselves at times, turning our backs on those who we've called sinners or turning our backs on certain groups of people. We have to affirm the reality that we are all God's children and God will not let us go. Therefore, neither can we let each other go. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. We are God's, and therefore we are compelled to love each other as God loved us. And bottom line, to be a Christian, to me, means to love people as God loves us.
Joe Evans, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.